Morning. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to be back together again. And let's pray and we'll begin the message. Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together the way that we have, to come together to sing praises to you, to worship you together in our songs and in our prayers and at the Lord's table. And Father, now as we worship in your word, we just want to praise you and glorify your name, as you are worthy of our praise. And we're so thankful that you, Lord, that you sent the light, that your Son came, and that he accomplished all that he did on our behalf. Father, we're thankful that you've let us see that light, that you have brought us into the kingdom. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you for for putting us together here so that we might enjoy one another and we might build each other up and strengthen each other and support each other. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you again for this opportunity to open your word, and we just ask that you would bless our time together in it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is a good day. This is a good day. It cannot help but be a good day, can it? It cannot help but be a good day for those who are in Christ. Because we are in Christ, it cannot help but be good. And it's a wonderful thing to be beginning the book of John. And Marshall did a good job last week explaining the difference with John from the other Gospels. You know, there's four Gospels, three that are called the Synoptic Gospels, which if y'all probably heard Synoptic, some of y'all may not. Synoptic just means like they gave a synopsis, sort of like they gave an account, kind of gave a historical account of what Jesus did, kind of his life. And that's what they call the Synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then in John, it's not considered one of those because it differs a lot. And Marshall talked about that. But we think about John and how it differs. And we can, if you think about the purpose of why does it differ, you know, what is different about John? And really you can see the purpose of the book of the Gospel of John that John himself gives us when we look in John 20, verses 30 through 31. He tells us why he wrote the book. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the purpose of John writing the gospel. John here acknowledges, he says, there are many other things that Jesus did, many other things that he did that aren't written in my book, that aren't written in this book. But he wrote these specific things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the purpose of the whole book. And so that the desire for John and the purpose of God inspiring John to write this book is that we might see, that we might see that Jesus is the Christ. It's so significant that we see that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that we would believe. So you kind of see even in this statement some themes that are introduced. You notice the theme here. One of the big themes of the book is this, that by believing you may have life in his name. Belief in the Son of God. I just did some word searches. Believe is in the gospel, just a quick word search, 98 times the word believe is used, or a derivative of it. And the word life is used in the gospel 47 times. And then what we're going to talk about today, the light, is spoken of 24 times in the gospel. So John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has given us the Word of God here. This is the Word of God that we're embarking on, that we're continuing in. This is the Word of God. He's given it to us that we might believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. That's the primary thing we're here for. That's what we come here week to week for, that we would believe that, and that believing we would have life, that believing you might have life in His name. And so, also, as we read the first chapter in verses 12 through 13, we see a little bit more about the belief. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God, but of God. And as we think of this, we see it right here. We see this idea of being born of God, of believing in His name again. So we pray as a church, as the elders in the church, I pray, and we all pray together that our time in John for the next several months, however long it takes, might bring some of us sitting here today, might bring some of you sitting here today to believe even for the first time in Jesus Christ, that He is who it's revealed to us that He is, and that He did what He was sent to accomplish, and that through that belief you might have life in His name. That's what we pray. And we pray that our time in John would strengthen all of us that have already believed to believe it even stronger, that would build us up in the faith, cause us to glorify Him as we consider these things. That's what we think, and that's what we pray as we enter this time together. We have faith that it will. As we dig deeper into this, it will cause us to be strengthened in the faith, cause us to want to glorify Him. So we're going to begin. We're going to read 1 John. Marshall covered the first four. John chapter 1. Marshall covered the first four verses, but we'll go ahead and read through 18 again. John 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from the fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." So we see, I'm going to go ahead and turn back to beginning in verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm just going to read those again so we can have them fresh on our mind. 1, verse 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So as Marshall explained last week, from verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word. Marshall explained it really well. That Word is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus was in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning He was. He was with God, and He was God. This Jesus that we speak of, this is the Word. This Jesus whom we worship is eternal. Eternal. He was with God and has always been with God. Yet it distinguishes here His personhood. You see the distinguishing of the personhood. So Jesus is God and Jesus was with God. So we have the Godhead of the three in one. The three persons of the Trinity. And you see the distinguishing here. That it distinguishes yet puts them together here. And so Marshall explained that really well. He's infinite. He's always has been. The Son of God always was the Son of God. He always was the second person of the Trinity. He did not become the Son of God when he was incarnated. He has always been with God, always has been. And so this is the Jesus whom we worship, the Word here. And the Word is God. And the Word was with God. And then it goes on. Marshall explained it all last week. All things were made, all things were created through Him, through this Jesus, through the Word. So in the beginning, when all the things were created, when creation happened, we can see the work of the Trinity there. You see God the Father speaking things into existence through the Word, through the Son, and then you see the Holy Spirit at work there too, hovering over the earth. They all work together in creation. But all things were created and made through Jesus, through the Son of God, that whom we worship. He was the creator of all things and always has, He's always been. And it's a glorious God that we worship. Sometimes we can't get our mind around all of that, but it causes us just to be in awe to think about these things. And to think about that this Son of God who was with the Father through all of eternity became man. And came and lived among us. To think about that and to see that is just a glorious thing. And then we see here mentioned in verse 4 and verse 5, this mention of light. So we see Him called the Word. We see a reference to the Word. And then in verse 3, in verse 4, we see in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we see mention of light. We see it on down in 8. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. See the mention of light over and over again. In verses 6 through 9, we see mentioned of a man named John who was sent from God. 6 through 9, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So we see this mention of a man named John, and we know that to be John the Baptist, who came for a purpose. For a specific purpose. And what was the purpose? Verse 7 tells us it was to bear witness. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that was coming. For what purpose? He bore witness about the light for the purpose that all might believe through Him. It's all about believing. You know, you see this over and over in the text. But that's the reason that John came. Verse 8 makes it clear that John was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light coming. And so we see just a quick reference here to John, and John came to bear witness to say, you know, to tell people that the light was coming, and to really to say that the Son of God was coming into the world. So this John was there for that specific purpose. The Son of God was coming into the world. The Son of God, the one through whom all things were created, the one who gave life to all things living, was coming into the world. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. The light was coming. That's what John was sent to proclaim. The light is coming. And it's just an amazing thing to consider that. If someone told you that without the scripture and just kind of started saying that, you might think they were crazy. The God is coming? God is coming in the flesh? But that's what he came to do, to bear witness to the light. So we see that Jesus is spoken of as the light that was coming into the world. So we must think about the light just a little bit. Why is he called the light? And I got a few scriptures here. All through the Old Testament, God is referred to as light. I mean, it just fills the whole Old Testament up. And I've got four verses here about the light. First one is Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Psalm 104:1-2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. In Daniel 2:22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. But the whole, I mean, you could just name scripture after scripture after scripture out of the Old Testament referring to God as light. So this idea that the Word here is referred to as the light, it's telling us that this light that is used to describe God in the Old Testament is coming. The light is coming. The light was to come. And then in 1 John we read, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And just a few more. Some from what we're going to be covering. John 3:19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. John 5:35. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And John 12:36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And then John 12:46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So God is light. The Old Testament speaks of God as being light. John the Baptist came to give witness to the light, that the light was coming, that God was coming in the flesh. And then we see all throughout John we'll be speaking of Jesus was the light. Like he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 12:46, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So we see constantly through here that the light was prophesied by John, was spoken of, was he prepared the way for it, and Jesus came, and Jesus was the light. He brought light into the world. And we'll talk some more about that as we go through. But also as we read, let me go back to our text. John 1, primarily verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we see the beginning of a tale here, the beginning of the light shines, the light is coming, the light shines, it shines in the darkness. So we see this contrast begin of light and darkness. So the light came into the world, and it shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. So what is the darkness? So we know the light is the Son of Man, the Son of God who's coming. We know that it's God in the flesh. But what is darkness? I think if we think of in natural terms, you know, you might think, if I turn these lights off, you know, it sort of gets dark in here. If you're at home at night and you turn the lights off, it gets dark. So in natural terms, we might think what? That light is what? I mean, dark is what? Like when the light goes away? Is it sort of like the, you know, that maybe we lack the presence of light, so when we turn the lights off, it gets dark? When you go in your room at night, kids, when you go in your room and turn your lights off, what happens? Rachel? Does it get dark? Unless you have a night light that's automatic, you know. But even in that darkness, can you see? You know, there's some light in that darkness. And so when we think of darkness, it's lacking the presence of light. That is true. But, you know, we might not see it in darkness unless we were in a dark, dark, deep cave. There's some light present in there. Have you ever been out in the woods at night? You go walking in the woods and your eyes kind of adjust and you can sort of see. That's because there's light in that darkness. But let's think about, what is the scripture referring to here as darkness? Is it the darkness of night? Is it is it like being in a room with the lights turned off? We've seen constantly that God is referred to as light. And we know that in creation there was no light except for God speaking it into existence. Before God spoke, there was no light. God created the light. So light is a created thing here in the natural world. But let's look at a few verses on the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness here that we're talking about in this scripture, the light shines in the darkness, is really referring to the fallen world that we find ourselves in. You know, the fallenness of the world that we're in. We can see the witness in the Old Testament about how the world, when God doesn't act, what happens? It gets darker and darker and darker. You know, God created, He created man, He created Adam and Eve. And what happens when God doesn't act? God rested on that day. And what happens? Mankind fell. And then what happens shortly after that? You see the Tower of Babel, and God acted. And then what happens after that? Mankind gets more wicked and more wicked and wicked. And what happened? There was the flood in the days of Noah. And you see it constantly. The witness of the scripture is if God does not act, mankind is darker and darker and darker. And we saw that in Romans, in the text in Romans that we've studied recently. Unless God acts, mankind gets darker. So I think as we think through it, we're going to read some scriptures. The darkness is really the depravity of man, all of fallen creation. creation. It's all that is opposed to God, all that was opposed to God. And we see it constantly throughout the Scripture. The Scripture even speaks of us being enemies of God in places. Those who do not know Him being enemies of God. And let's just look at a few. The darkness. John 3:19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. In Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. See that, over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And let's just speak about the first one just a little bit. So, we see all of mankind has fallen. All of mankind, even though they've been given the breath of life from God, they were created and caused to live. God created them. They've been given this breath of life. They're born into this darkness. All of us are born into darkness. And then when the light shines in the darkness, what happens? When the light shines in the darkness, it brings to light the darkness, does it not? It's sort of like without light, you might not notice it's dark. But when the light shines in there, it starts to distinguish the dark. You think about at night. You know, you just think about you're walking along, and you may not even realize it's dark. Your eyes get adjusted, you're walking, and everything's fine. But you go inside for a few minutes, and what happens when you walk back out? You know, have y'all done that? Your eyes are adjusted, you walk inside, or somebody shines a flashlight in your face, right in your eyes, for just a few seconds. And then you turn around and you can't see anything. It's like sometimes on the light, sometimes we'll be walking along in darkness and not even realize it. But there's a little light there. I mean, we can kind of see. But when that true light, when the powerful true light shines in the darkness, it causes us to see the darkness. Causes us to see, you know, how dark it is around us. And it's like the light comes and the light distinguishes the light from the darkness. Sort of mixed together at night as you're walking along. There's some darkness and some light, but you can sort of see. But when that light shines bright, you see the light that's shining in your face. If you walk into a room, you see the light that's shining in your face. And then as you turn back, it just causes you to really see the darkness. So it kind of splits those things apart. So there's darkness. We're all born into darkness. But when the light shines, the darkness is made evident. And you know what? The darkness doesn't like it. The darkness light's sort of being unnoticed. And that's what you see in the Scripture. When the light comes into the world, the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. They liked it when it was dark because you couldn't see the darkness they had in them. And they hate the light because it exposes their evil deeds. So people, when they see the light in their natural being, when they're in the darkness, they don't like the light. And then the second one is, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, out of Ephesians 6:12. So this talks about that darkness, the present darkness. But you see here kind of a witness of there's something more going on as we're here in this world, as we're trying to seek the light, yet the darkness is trying to keep hold of us. We're wrestling against bigger things than ourselves, but we see here that there are forces, there are authorities, there are people that are, you know, there's things going on, spiritual forces and evil in the heavenly places that we're wrestling against. And you've seen this struggle go on from the time the light Jesus came into the world. What happened? From the time He came to the earth, there a struggle began. I mean, you think Satan and all the powers of darkness tried to get rid of him. Think about, it kind of culminated in Luke 22. So the whole time he was here, Actually, I don't have it there right now, but the whole time that Jesus was here, what happened? There was a struggle began, and you can think about from the killing of the boys at Bethlehem. You know, Herod tried to come and destroy this king that would come. There was a struggle. They killed the little boys that were two and under. There was a constant struggle. There was a constant trying to snuff out the light. The temptation of Jesus, when he first began his ministry, the temptation of Jesus by Satan. And you see all of the opposition he faced by the rulers, by the people. You know, they tried to get a hold of him several times to stone him to death as he was speaking with them. They spent the whole time he was on the earth, they were trying to trick him and plotting on what should we do with this fellow? What should we do with him? And you see in the way that the light, the darkness responded to Jesus, that the darkness hates the light. The darkness is opposed to the light. I'm going to go back just a second here if you give me a... Let's read just these last two verses. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This idea of turning from darkness to light. So the darkness is opposed to the light, but Jesus Christ came to turn those from darkness to light. And then Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we see the idea of this darkness having dominion, yet the light came to turn people away from the darkness and towards the light. And so we have the light and the darkness. The darkness hates the light. But the light is there to reveal the darkness, you know, to expose the darkness and to bring people from the darkness to the life, to the light. And there's also text that talks about in Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. Refers to all of us that we were enemies. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. So he's speaking to Christians. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, hostile against the light, enemies of God. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, as the text we find today. But it refers to all of us that way. What is the darkness? The darkness is all of creation. The darkness has included us as, while we were enemies of God. We were in the darkness. But it also includes all of those principalities and powers and Satan and everybody that's battling against the light. And now let's read John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we have the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Now, some of you, if you're reading your translations, James and I talked about this, I guess yesterday a little bit, that shout has not overcome. Some translations say, what do they say, James? Comprehend or grasp or so some kind of give the idea that the darkness has not comprehended the light or not understood the light. That's sort of the tense that some give or James and I talked about yesterday, but I, after studying the word and the as we think about it, in the context and the way the verb is translated, it can mean comprehend. But it can also mean the way that we have it worded here, this overcome it. And John used the Greek word in one other place in John. There's one other place he used it. And I'm trying to find if I've got it in here. I'm sorry, I think I skipped a little bit, but the other place that we have the Greek word is here, John 12:35. This is it. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." And that's the way the verb is used. It can be used that way or a comprehend. But you see that, lest darkness overtake you. It's sort of an overtaking. It's a grab a hold. It can mean either kind of a comprehending or a grab holding of something, like you get it, you understand it, you grab hold of it. Or it can mean grab a hold and pull down. There's a sense that it can mean that, grabbing a hold of something and pulling it down. And I think in our context, later on, it talks about the world did not receive him, which is the idea the world, like individuals, did not receive. But I think the darkness here, referring to the darkness, is talking about the darkness was opposed to the light. But the darkness has not overcome it. And the light shines is the big thing. The light is shining now. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness hates the light. The darkness is opposed to the light. The darkness is the enemy of the light. Yet the darkness has not overcome the light. The light shines. The light shines. And I would like to add that John MacArthur, Boyce, and then two other commentaries I read all agreed with me on that. It wasn't just me, so I did some reading on that, but the idea is that the light has come, the light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness has not overcome the light. And so if we think about the history of Jesus, we think about Jesus, we know we're not there yet. This is speaking of Jesus that's coming into the world. But Jesus came into the world. He lived opposed by Satan. The whole time he was here, he was opposed by Satan. Satan tempted him. And then you think about the light shines in the darkness. The darkness stood against the light. And I think Satan and all of the darkness, when he was before Pilate, When he's accused of sin, he's innocent. He's completely innocent. Kept the law completely. When Jesus is there, and when all the Jews screamed, "Crucify him!" When they were screaming, "Crucify him!" I believe with all of my heart that the darkness was cheering. The darkness was celebrating. Satan was like, "We got him! We got him!" After all these years. I believe that they thought they had won. Satan thought he had won. And when they yelled that, "Crucify him," I can see the cheering going on. But the idea is that the light shines in the darkness. The darkness hates the light. The darkness wants to quench the light out. The darkness wants to put the light out. The darkness opposed this light that came because it hates the light. It doesn't want its sinfulness exposed. Satan thought for a while that he had won, but you know what? He didn't. He didn't win because the darkness has not been overcome with the light. Because God worked, because God acted, because of that, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And because of that, we read in Ephesians 1:20, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead So Satan, thinking he's won, this Christ has died and been buried. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the light has shined. The light is shining. And God has acted on our behalf. And we can rest in knowing that the darkness has not and will not overcome the light. It will not overcome it. One other verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 6. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the light is shining. The light's shining right now. The light continues to shine. The light will continue to shine for an eternity. The darkness cannot overcome it. And we can rest in knowing that it will never be overcome. In our own lives, if it's been like this, if there has been light, if the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," if He has shone in our hearts, if He's given us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, if He has made it known to you, if the light has shined on you and you've seen your sins, you've seen your need of a Savior, and you've heard the gospel proclaim that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who lived a perfect life and died on your behalf, and then who was raised from the dead. When we hear those words proclaimed, when we hear that good news, if God has shown His light in your heart, if He has revealed that truth to you and you believed, you can rest in knowing that no matter what happens in your life, the darkness will not overcome that light. The darkness has shone in the light. The darkness is shining in the light right now, and it will not be overcome. It's a permanent thing. This is a permanent thing. So we can rest in knowing that. And we can rest in knowing that when we look at the country we live in, sometimes we can look at that and see the things going on when people are saying some things that are good things that we know that are righteous, those things that we hold dear, things that we think of as righteous, when people will say that those are evil, yet say that evil things are righteous. You see that happening. They call the good bad and the bad good. We see all that happening. Sometimes we can think the darkness is overcoming us. We'll think that way sometimes. The darkness is winning. The darkness is overcoming. But we can rest in knowing no matter what's going on in the United States, the light is shining. The light is shining right now. We can face persecution. People can want to kill us for our faith. And we can rest in knowing that the light is shining. It will not overcome us. It will not overcome you, no matter what you face. It will not overcome you. And also, if you've not believed in this good news in the gospel, you've heard the light proclaim, you know, the proclamation that the light has come, that Jesus Christ has come. You've heard it over and over that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. The light exposes your guilt and your sin, and you see it. If you've not believed, if you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just say, do it. Believe. Believe. It's true. It's true. The light has come. It is completely true. The Son of God, who was with God at the beginning, He's always been with God, has come. He has come and lived among us so that we might see this light. The light has been shown to us. The light has come. And God calls on you to believe, to repent of your sins and believe this truth. It shows you your sin and your guilt and your need in Him. I just encourage you to believe it. Just believe it and trust on that. And may we be strengthened as we continue to go through this Scripture and see what all has been accomplished on our behalf. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for for the fact that You sent Your Son, who was always with You, Father, that You sent Him to die so that we might be forgiven. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You that You shine Your light continually, that the light is shining, that the light has come into the world, and that now that the light is shining through the good news of the gospel and through people whom You have changed. And Father, we just pray that You would help us to see that. And I just pray that You would strengthen our faith in knowing that no matter what we see going on, sometimes it seems that the darkness is overcoming. We know we can trust that it will not, Father, that You are You're still shining through the sun, that You're still bringing people to Yourself through the sun, that You're still giving life through the sun. Father, that You're working in people's hearts here this morning, that You're working on people that are sitting here, that Lord, that You're causing them to believe. And Father, we just thank You for that. Thank You that we can completely trust in the work that You accomplished for us. And Father, we just praise You for all of this, praise You for Your Word, and just pray that You would continue to work among us as we open it together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.